morning. Good to be here and sharing this service, and I enjoyed the Sunday school. Some of them questions we could have went a little while on, I think, and a lot of good thoughts there, and a lot of good things for us to think about in relation to that Old Testament story. Let's learn the lessons that are there for us. I'd like to read two verses, or a couple verses, this morning before we go into the message. Number one, the first verse I'd like to read is 1 Peter 5 and verse 5. It reads like this: "Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the elder. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble." Back a couple pages in 1 Peter 2, in verse 9, we have this verse: "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And Luke 12, verses 6 and 7: "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not thou, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows." The title that I've given to the message this morning is Finding the Balance Between Humility and Self-Worth. Finding the balance between humility and self-worth. 1 Peter 5:5 says, "Be clothed with humility." And then we have verses like in Luke 12 in verse 7 there, where it says where Jesus tried to explain to his disciples how valuable they actually were. Just a quote from Rick Warren. I don't really subscribe to everything he says and writes, but there's a quote that I read from him that I thought was pretty applicable to this message this morning. "Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less." If you think that through, it's not thinking about yourself in a derogatory way, but it's just simply thinking less about yourself. Just spending less time thinking about me. That's humility. And I think that's well put. Finding the balance between humility and self-worth. We've all met people it's pretty easy to get the impression that they think they're worth pretty much. Kind of an inflated ego. Maybe that's what you'd call that. And then we meet people sometimes that just trash themselves, and it's just like they come across as having a very low estimation of themselves. And somewhere in between is the balance. And I guess that's what my goal is to talk about that and go to the Bible and where do we find that balance? Don't get me wrong, I don't believe that it's possible. I don't believe it's possible for us to be too humble. It's not possible for us when you look at the life of Jesus, and we say that he's the classic example. He is he's true humility, and you look at his life and the way he expended himself for others and served and suffered and died and all for us, and that was true humility. I don't think it's possible for us to become too humble in the truest meaning of the word humility. But I do believe that it is possible for us to have too high of an estimation of ourselves. I think that's very possible. I do believe that if we clothe ourselves with humility, like Peter tells us in 1 Peter 5:5, it's then that we can understand, as we clothe ourselves with humility that he's talking about, I believe we can understand the worth that God wants us to have of ourselves, and that we have as an individual. And it'll help us to see, it'll help us to see ourselves as God sees us, and as a person of value, and we'll look at that as we go along, but not that inflated ego or an overestimated self-esteem that's so prevalent in our world today. There's, you know, that's what the psychologists are teaching and trumping up, is that, you know, we've got to have a sense of self-worth, and that's true, but I think it's got more emphasis than what the Bible really wants us to have, and we'll look at that as we go along. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. I'd like to use this passage as kind of the first 8 verses, as verse 3 especially, is what drew me to this subject. Verse 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of grace." And that's the scriptural balance. Not to think of ourselves too highly, but to think soberly. And that word soberly, that Greek word, means moderately or sanely. We're supposed to think moderately of ourselves, not that we have an inflated ego or an inflated estimation of ourselves. Think of ourselves in light of God's provision for us. And when we think about the value that God placed on us, that he was willing to send Jesus to this world to give his life for us, God must think we have value. He must think that we are valuable and we have worth. But at the same time, let's remember that it's not just us that has value, but God sent Jesus into this world that whosoever will can be saved, and whosoever will, and it's not God's wish that anyone should perish, but he sent Jesus so that all could come and all could be saved. Romans 12, I'd like to read the first 8 verses. "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto me, that every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait in our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness." Verse 2, it says that we're not to be conformed to this world, but we need to be transformed. And the way to be transformed is to have, to get a new mind, a renewed mind. He says in verse 2, let to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And you want to know what it means to have a renewed mind. Read, and maybe we'll look at that a little later, but Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And if you read the surrounding verses in Philippians 2, it explains what that is, how Jesus' mind worked and what it caused him to do. And we need a mind like that. Verse 3, we're not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Verse 4, it's talking about the body of Christ, and we're all members of that body. And every one of us, God has given every one of us gifts and strengths and strong points and weak points. I don't know if I'd say he gave us weak points, but we don't excel in every area. But he gives us different strengths and gifts within the body of Christ. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. We need and we depend on the input of others. And I appreciated the devotional that John had in regards to that. We need to all be pulling together, and we need to be bringing each other along. And the example Clarence had with the coon, that's a beautiful picture in nature. But let's do what we can to bring each other along and to fill in for each other. We all have our weaknesses and we all make our mistakes and have our shortcomings. And let's be willing to fill in for others, and let's be willing to have others challenge us and fill in where we lack. And then verses 6 to 8 is a challenge that God has given us gifts. Let's not be bashful about using them. And we tend to, we're pretty modest. Maybe we do excel in something. And maybe we have a gift, and yet we kind of hang back. And, let somebody else, they can do it much better. When obviously we can do it. And the challenge in these verses is that if God has given you a gift, use it. Use it. Don't be bashful about it. It's not being proud to use the gift that God has given you. Granted, it is pride when we begin to take credit for it and we begin to, and that's the only gift that matters. Or it's because of what I've done or whatever. But use and exercise the gifts that God has given you. Some things that I think we should remember in relation to this message, or in relation to this idea of finding the balance between humility and self-worth. Number one, every one of us was created in the image of God. Every one of us is created in the image of God. And you go back, way back to Genesis 1, when God was done and finished with everything else. Now he said, I'd like to create man. And let's make him in our own image. After creating the whole universe, and you start studying the universe and how huge it is and how massive and how many light years these stars are away from us, blows my mind. How long it takes light to travel and how many years it's that far away. That's big. And then you start putting things under the microscope, and yet how tiny and little and minute, and the cells and the atoms and the molecules and all of those things. After all those things were created, God said, let's make man in our image. And he created us because he wanted a relationship with someone. And he breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. David said in Psalm 139, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He recognized that. And this fact that God created us in his image and he breathed into man the breath of life, that fact brings value and worth to every human being. Everyone. Even, you know, the most needy person that you know, he is still a human being. He's created in the image of God. God wants him to be saved. God wants him, and he cares about him. Number two, Romans 3 and verse 23. Very familiar verse. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's another thing we need to remember, that there's everyone, the world over, every human being has sinned and come short of the glory of God and needs a Redeemer. Every one of us. And I don't care how you were raised. I don't care what kind of home you came from. I don't care how protected you were. You've sinned and you need a Redeemer. To really find the balance between humility, number three, to really find the balance between humility and self-worth, we need a mind like Jesus had. And maybe we talked about in Romans 12 and verse 2 there, we're called to have to be transformed by having a renewed mind. And maybe I'll just turn back to Philippians 2 and read verses 3 to 8 here of Philippians 2. And this explains the mind of Christ and how Jesus thought, and it's the kind of mind that we're called to have and the kind of mind that we need. Philippians 2 and verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And our thinking, before we're converted, and before we learn to know Jesus, and before Jesus came into our hearts, and before the Holy Spirit controlled our lives, why, our thinking is out of balance, and we have a wrong concept of ourselves, and we're it's warped, and we, for some, it's an overinflated ego. For some, it's like they feel like they're worthless, they can't do anything right, and they have no value. We need the renewed mind of Christ. And Jesus recognized the value of a human being. He recognized, but along with that, Jesus was willing to serve. He talks about, in verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Jesus didn't live the way he lived to pick himself up or so that others would think a lot of him. It says, look not every man on his own things, but every man also in the things of others. And another, we have another place where Jesus shone, and he gave us the perfect example. He was so concerned about those that he that he lived with and those that he interacted with daily. And says in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. And that's what he was. That's what he came here to do, is to serve. Number 4, humility isn't about ignoring or dismissing our strengths and gifts, but it's about recognizing that God gave them to me to use for his glory and in his kingdom. And I think that's important that we recognize that. And we talked about it already, that God has given us gifts to use. And it's humility to be willing to use those gifts and be willing to serve others with those gifts and allow ourselves to and be willing to make sacrifices for the sake of others and for the sake of God's kingdom. Humility is, along with that, humility is also about recognizing that I'm far from perfect. I don't have all the gifts. In fact, I have probably more weaknesses than gifts. And I need God's help in that. I need the contribution of the body, the rest of the body. I need the other members of the body. And we recognize our own needs, along with we understand that God didn't just put us here to fill up space, but he gave us gifts and he gave us things to do, and he expects us to live for his glory. Number 5, self-worth. On the other hand, self-worth isn't about boasting or becoming proud of our achievements or constantly looking for recognition and validation from others. Self-worth is, however, recognizing that God gave each of us gifts that he expects us to use and to bless others and bring him glory. And very, very similar thoughts to what I brought out in number 4 there, and what humility is. And so we see that there's a correlation between being humble and having humility, and yet at the same time understanding that as a person we have worth and we're here for a purpose. Finding the balance. How can we balance this? And probably all of us struggle in different ways. Some of us may struggle in thinking that we are indispensable, we're pretty important. How would things go on if we wouldn't be here? And then there's others that feel like, "Why? What am I here for? I'm not really. I can't really. I don't really feel useful." There's a balance, and how can we find it? Number 1. Be a thankful person. Be a thankful person. Make gratitude a way of life. We live in such an entitlement-driven world. Everyone has the idea that they are entitled to everything they get, as well as a lot of things that they're not getting. And that's just the world that we live in. Rather, let's be thankful for what God has blessed us with, and realize that what he gives us, we're so undeserving of. We really don't deserve what he does give us. And be a thankful person. And remember that we're blessed above so many. And even when we do face things that are less than ideal or that we wish could be different, be thankful for that God has, along with that, he's blessed us with the grace to see us through that. Number 2, recognize the gifts and abilities that God has given you. And then let's be honest with ourselves. There are things that, as I said, we tend to be pretty modest, and you know, we don't want to admit when we do have gifts, or maybe that when we can excel in a certain area. I'd like to challenge you to recognize that God has given you some gifts, and then look for ways to use that gift to bless others and to advance God's kingdom in this world. And along with that, along with recognizing the abilities that God has given you, be open to developing the things that maybe you feel like you are lacking in. And be open to developing those abilities and gifts, and recognize that with some practice, you could probably even improve on the gifts that He has given you. And maybe areas where you feel you have a weakness, maybe it could be developed. Number three, accept the fact that there are areas that you are weak in and are far from excelling in and probably never will. Not that you totally give up on that, but be willing to accept the fact that maybe this isn't my strong point. Maybe, and you know, there's, you know, I've met people, and I've gone to school with people that I remember they when they sensed that there was someone that could do something better than them, just ate them up, and they just threw everything at that to try to, because they wanted to be on top. And I guess I could call that pride. I think I could, and probably all of us have felt that way already, where we feel like we've got to excel. Can't accept the fact that maybe this isn't my gift. Accept the fact that you're not maybe gifted in every area. Be willing to try to improve where you can, but focus on the areas that God has blessed you with a gift, and excel there. Number four, another way to find the balance in this is invite and encourage the contribution that others can make into your life. And I think it's so important that that's part of humility, is to recognize that I don't have all the answers, I don't have all the gifts, and I can't do this solo. I need the contribution that others can give and can share in my life, and convey to others that you really need and you value the abilities and gifts that they have, and don't come across that you're just tolerating them. But others should have a feeling that you really invite their input into your life, and it's a challenge for all of us. We tend to not all of us, but some of us tend to want to be independent by nature, and feel like we can do this alone, and we can, where we have weaknesses, well, we'll figure it out somehow, and we'll get our strong points, and we'll get it together somehow. But accept that the fact that you have weak points, you have areas that others are better, and invite their contribution into your life, and so that they know that you feel like they have value to you. Number five, focus on complementing the lives of others instead of competing with them. And I believe this can be a challenge for all of us, where we feel like when we see that others excel in an area that we don't, and it can be kind of turns into more of a competition. When God really wants, in the body of Christ, in the congregation, if you will, He's blessed us with different gifts and it's not so we can compete with each other to see who's the best, but it's to complement each other and to fill in for where our weaknesses are. View others as a blessing and not a threat in your life. As members of Christ's body, let's remember that we're a team. And our goal is to advance God's kingdom in this world. It's God's kingdom that we're out to advance, and not our own agenda and our own ideas and to highlight where we excel. But we're here to collectively bring glory to God. And it's a beautiful thing when a brotherhood can work together and bring that out. Number 6, make living for God and advancing His kingdom in this world the goal of your life. And I guess as I've observed people, it's those that are so focused on themselves and they're focused on the problems they have, or maybe sometimes they're focused on their gifts or their you name it. It's a struggle for them to find meaning in life, and maybe they struggle with low self-esteem sometimes. I'd like to challenge each of you this morning that you make advancing God's kingdom. Let's get our eyes off ourselves. Let's do like Rick Warren said, think less of ourselves, think of ourselves less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself. But let's spend less time thinking about ourselves and less time focused on us as an individual, and rather focus on what we're here for and what God has called us to do, and think about the example we have in Jesus Christ, and focus on that. Follow His example. As we focus on serving God and others in life, it's humbling. I believe it's humbling to us to think about the fact that God has actually put us here because He has a job for us to do, and He needs us. Granted, He can get it done in other ways, but He put us here for a purpose, and that's not only humbling, but it gives us a sense of self-worth to know that we're here. We're here for a purpose. And this morning I'd like to challenge all of you, and myself included, that we make serving God and being an asset in His kingdom right where we are our primary focus. And I know of nothing else so humbling and yet so fulfilling to know that I'm where God wants me, and I'm doing that to the best of my ability. And I challenge each of us to focus on that. Let's kneel for prayer.